Father, thank you for everything you've done already this morning. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Thank you that we don't come to church to hear a sermon or sing a song, but we come to meet you. And I pray, God, that as we break open the word this morning, Father, that, yeah, I thank you that you're going to speak to each of us, God. And we just choose to open our spiritual ears and open our spiritual eyes to see and to hear what you want to say to us this morning, Father. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I wasn't here last weekend. I had the privilege of ministering in East London, in Shofar East London. It was fun. I got back and I told Richard, goodness me, it felt like they druk my susa rusainki. They squeezed everything out of me. We ministered. I got there on Friday late afternoon. Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, the first session started. We walked out of church at just after 2, and we were back there at 5 o'clock until, I think, 9:45. I said, I cannot pray for another person. And then on Sunday morning, there are 2 services, the first one at 8 o'clock, so you minister, and then you pray. While you're still praying, the 10 o'clock service starts, and then you just carry on again. So I walked out of there at 1 o'clock. I got a quick lunch, and then back to the airport. Came back home. Davin came to pick me up. Thank you, Davin. But it was just amazing to be amongst people like you guys who are hungry for God. And that's what I told Richard, that it's so easy because they are hungry. They want more of Jesus. They're saying, I'll stay until very last. The one lady, Shame, she was waiting there for over an hour to ask me to pray for her. And they had 60 leaders praying for people. I was not the only one because I told Sonica, I cannot. It was a ladies' event on Saturday with 193 ladies. So I told her, I hope you've got a team. So she says, I've got 60 ladies that's going to pray. But still the hunger in the church. And I want to encourage you guys to not grow weary in hungering after God. You know, Richard says he's been telling you guys some stories about our trip to America. And yes, it was a whole lot of fun. And we wanted to do it with the kids. And it's been a dream and all of that. But bottom line is, I'm hungry for more of God. And I wanted to go there and see what have they got in some of the churches there that we don't. God, I want more of you. So I come back. I feel like ek bewani binnekom. I'm ready because I know God has got more for each of us. Amen. But unfortunately, we got back 3 weeks ago, the 28th. But let me tell you, look at this. So our official first working day back was last week, Wednesday, the 12th. That was 3 months that we were off. We've been here a little bit before that, but officially started working on the 12th. We started, we're excited, we've got plans, we're going to do stuff. And that evening, while we had our small group over, Christina started feeling sick. And not a little bit sick, I mean it was wild. And from there, it's just been one thing after the other, one thing after the other. I eventually on Wednesday morning at 5 o'clock told Richard, look, you're not very heavy, but I cannot carry you to the car. We need to get you to the emergency room because I cannot help you. He's fine. Dehydration is a bad thing, but he's fine. But I just realized again this week that we are in a war. We are in a battle. And whether you want to enroll for the army or not, the day you say to Jesus, Jesus, I give you my life, you enrolled in the war. You became part of the battle. And the reality is it's two kingdoms that are constantly clashing. Now, sometimes the battle is slightly more intense than at other times. And now is a time like that. And it's not just even before Richard landed in hospital on Monday already, he started feeling sick. When I walked in there on Sunday night from the airport, I looked and I thought, oh, this guy is not feeling himself. So he said at 5 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, he started feeling not great. As I came back, but the Lord is gracious in all of this. But what I realized on Sunday evening, I told him, I really feel God is saying, we need to press in, there's a battle. And as I've been praying about this word, I've been hearing, oh, but this one's also sick, that one's really struggling, that one's going through a tough time. Is there anybody that can say, I feel the battle is a little bit intense at the moment? Yeah, look at all the hands. So I want to encourage you this morning, firstly, that it's a battle. Secondly, we know who wins. Ne? ons het die einde van die storie gelees. We read the end of the book. Jesus wins. But while we are in this battle, I also want to encourage you, there are seasons. It's not going to last forever. Okay? Sometimes you feel, I cannot do it anymore. I cannot continue. But I feel strongly God saying this morning that there are seasons and everything, there will be an end. Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything. So if you feel this morning, I'm so tired, I feel hopeless, I cannot do it anymore, I want to say to you this morning, we're going to come alongside you. We're going to pray for each other. We're going to lift each other up. But I also want to encourage you, it will change. God says there's a season for everything. Seasons come and go. And sometimes the battle is a little bit more fierce, like at the moment, and that's why we come together. But I don't want you to be discouraged. I remember the first time I realized there's this battle. I've shared it with you guys. When I was 18 years old, 1999, I was in a bus accident. We went on a hockey tournament this time of year. You know, they play interprovincial tournaments, the different provinces. And we were on our way to Potchefstroom, and the wheel burst. And the bus, unfortunately, rolled. And we were a whole bus. The coach was a man, but the rest of us, we were a bus of girls. So there's teenage girls lying everywhere on the road. It was just havoc. It was terrible. And my one friend that was sitting next to me, Nikki, she didn't die. She was kind of with it on the scene, but she was brain dead, and they switched off the machines 2 weeks later. And another friend, Esty, died on the scene. But I remember for probably about 6 months after that, struggling. I mean, I was struggling. You know, when you kind of had, it feels like your insides have been shook. And I remember sitting in class. Now I'm standard 9, what's that, grade 11 these days. I'm sitting in class, and if a teacher would just see that I'm not focusing, and she'd say, Jolene, and immediately I would get such a fright, I would just start crying. And I cry easily, but I wasn't a constant crier back then. But for 6 months, the grief, the confusion, the questions, the God, what is going on here? I was saved back then, but my biggest question was, why would God take two teenage girls? Why would he kill them? That's actually what I thought. I honestly thought, and I would ask my mother all these questions. I've told you guys the story. And my mom eventually got to a place where she's like, I actually don't know. And again, the school phone saying, please, can you come fetch Jolene? She's not coping. They'd given me a cup of tea again. The headmistress was amazing. She would invite me into her office and make me tea and says, I'm going to phone your mom. My mom would drive an hour and a half from the farm to come and get me again because Jolene is not coping. And that sometimes grief does that, you know, and you don't know why, but the emotions, kan iemand relate? The emotions are, they're sitting right here, and you're like, just don't cry. I mean, this week I had that again. My mom said, how are you doing? I said, don't ask me. I can feel it. It's behind my eyelids. If I'm gonna start crying, I'm probably not going to stop, and I'm going to get there. We're going to cry, but now is not the time. I have to help my husband and get my kids back home. But what happened was my mom took me to a pastor's wife in one of the little towns in the Free State. And I remember as clear as day, she drew a little house on a piece of paper. And she said to me, she explained 1 Peter 5, that Paul says that the enemy walks around like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. Only lion is the lion of the tribe of Judah. But he walks around like a roaring lion, and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. That's it. John 10, verse 10. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life and life in abundance. And what she basically explained to me was, there are two kingdoms, my girl. Whether you like it or not, there is a battle going on, and there are two kingdoms. And there's a constant walking around looking who to devour, where to come in. And I remember asking her, so God didn't want my friends to die? She said, no, that's killing, stealing, destroying. That's the enemy. God wants to give us life and life in abundance. And I remember, even though it still took me a little bit of time to work through all my emotions and get the healing I needed, it settled something in me that, oh, this was not God. This was not His will. You see, sometimes we're in the midst of trauma and a difficult time. The enemy comes and he lies to us. And he tells us that either you did something wrong and this is all your fault and you got this, you made this all come on yourself. So he gets you on a guilt trip. And who knows, that doesn't help nobody, okay? Going on a witch hunt is not going to help you. I'm going to help some of you out. Some of us are very introspective. And I believe God is a good father. And if there's something you need to know, he's going to tell you if you want to hear. You don't need to go and look. What did I do wrong? When my kids do something not quite in line with what we want them to do at home, say, for instance, they have a fight or hit their kids, I will make it rather clear that I am not happy with the behavior, right? Every parent. I'm not going to give them the silent treatment and punish them until William eventually comes and asks me. That's not good parenting. Good parenting is I connect with you and Lord bless. I hope it's not somebody on the post. God, we just bless whoever is in trouble or in need of help in Jesus' name. But I feel for some of us, we maybe had a parent, a mom or a dad who went the silent treatment route and we project that onto the Lord. But God is saying that is not how God is. God is saying, if there's something I'm bothered that you did that's not great, if you come to me, I'm going to tell you. But if there's nothing, don't scratch. You see, the enemy loves us to get into this self-condemnation. What did I do? What did I do? And now we lie all day and all night thinking, what did I do? How did I bring it upon myself? Whereas most of the times, you are just in a war. It's just a battle. Okay. So I want to, I felt as I was praying, I felt specifically for this season. You know, in the Old Testament, sometimes they would do battle in a certain way. It's different each battle. Have you guys read the Old Testament? Sometimes the Israelites would go to battle and God would actually say, no, we're not going to battle. You're just going to blow the little ram's horn and break the Gideon story. And God is saying, make the people less and that's how we're going to defeat them. The next time God would say, you know what, David, split the army into three and we're going to do the ambush. And another time God would say, we're going to look at that story in a minute, put the worshippers right in front. That's how we're going to do it. But each battle had a different battle strategy. Does that make sense? So sometimes God would say no. In fact, sometimes he would say, don't even go at all. And he would sort out that the Assyrians outside of Jerusalem, that eventually when the Israelites got there, they got confused and they started slaughtering each other in the middle of the night. Can you imagine that? So the enemies, the I don't know what ites it is, Amorites, Hittites, ites, but which one it was. But they actually, God brought such confusion in their camp that they destroyed each other. So I feel very strongly for each season, God is saying, when you are in a season of intense battle, there are certain strategies that I feel we need to ask God, what are you saying? What is the strategy for this season? Because you see, this is part of our walk, our intimacy with the Lord. God is not saying, here you go, you gave your life to me, there's the rules, there's, okay, when you struggle with your husband, this is what you do. When you struggle with that kid, this is what you do. Off you go, I'll see you in eternity. That's not God's heart. God is saying, come to me. Come, listen, let's have a chat about what's going on. But you know what? I've got the perfect strategy. I know what you need to do in this instance, but I want to encourage you, even though I feel there are two big things in the season corporately, we are all in individual seasons as well. But if I hear almost, now I have to count, we are eight people on the eldership team, of which Johnny, Eunice, Derek, Rosita, we're not feeling well this week, Stefan's not feeling well, Richard in hospital. So of eight people, six people are really struggling physically with sicknesses, I know there's probably more people in church struggling, not just physically, but with other stuff. Why? Because very often what the enemy does in the leadership is just a reflection of what's probably going on amongst the rest of us. So I feel very strongly that God is saying we need to, as a church, get one or two strategies in place. But then I want to encourage you, God has got a strategy for your battle, your season that you are in. He's inviting you in. That's how he works. He's saying, come, 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 come close. Let me tell you. That's his heart. He wants to tell you. He wants to guide you. But sometimes we get so busy looking for the problem, looking into myself, looking at my husband, looking. And God is saying, shh, shh, shh. Come, I'm going to tell you what the keys are for this battle. Does that make sense? So the two things I felt quite clearly God saying is the first key, and we're going to speak just, it's not a long word. The first key is praise. The first key is praise. You know, praise is a wonderful thing, but praise is a sacrificial thing. You know, there's praise and there's worship, and I'm not going to try and teach. Richard is the master teacher on praise and worship, but there's a difference between praise and worship. Praise is sacrificial. Praise is how we enter the gates into his presence. Praise is when David speaks so beautifully. There's Psalm 103. Maybe you can put it up there, Matthew. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. David speaks to, O my soul, is my emotions. And he speaks to all that is within me. So David is saying, I don't feel like blessing God because whatever, the enemies are after me. Saul is trying to kill me. I lost my wife. He lost Micah. I mean, can you imagine his wife that he won terribly? I would not have been good wife in that state if I was a prize to somebody. No. But he won Micah fair and square by killing Goliath. And then Saul went and gave her to another guy, you know. I mean, David had struggles. But yet, in the midst of those struggles, he would say, come on, my soul. I'm speaking to you, emotions. You're not going to rule me. I am ruling you. Emotions are from God. Let's not make the emotions the enemy. They are amazing servants, amazing to help us figure out what's going on inside of me. But they are terrible masters. Our emotions cannot rule and reign us. And that is why David speaks to his soul. And this is just one of the Psalms where you see he speaks to his soul and he says, come on, my soul. Now is the time to praise God. I'm going to get up even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to stick my hands in the air. I'm going to clap my hands. Why? Because he is worthy. And David knew something. He knew something about praise. Because you see, we're going to look at two or three scriptures now. When we praise God, Matthew, you can put up Psalm 22, verse 3. It says there, but you are holy, this is David speaking, enthroned in the praises of Israel. You see, David knew when we praise God, he is enthroned. And where he is enthroned, he is Lord. Does that make sense? If I praise him, if Jesus is enthroned in my house, then he rules and reigns in my house. Because I'm saying, Jesus, you are Lord. I'm praising you. Like David is saying, you are enthroned on my praises. So praising God, saying he is enthroned on our praises, means he comes in and he says, right, here I am praised, here I rule and reign. And if Jesus rules and reigns somewhere, then there is no place for the enemy. Does that make sense? In fact, we're going to look at two more scriptures where it says that when God rules and reigns, where we praise him and he is enthroned, he starts and fights our battles. So while I'm praising him, while I'm lifting him up, while I'm saying, come on, my soul, I know you don't feel like getting up. For some of you, I actually feel this is a word for some of you, yeah, you need to come to the evening service. You're saying it's cold, I don't want to come, it's so little people, I've already been to church. And God is saying, you need to speak to your soul because it's not what you're going to get here, it's what you're going to give me. And while you're giving me praise, I'm sorting out your battles. I'm fighting your battles for you. But some of you are struggling to worship at home. I'm going to give you a tip, okay? I've got musical people in my family. I'm not one of them. I do not even like hearing myself sing. So I try and sit forward because I struggle, because I don't want to hear myself. I don't sing very pretty, but I love singing. I love praising. So what I do is I put in earphones and I say sorry to my house people and I sing, but I put it loud in my ears. So for some of you, you need to do something like that to make, because what happens? The enemy tells us you need to be awkward and everybody's looking at you and you can't stick up your hands and you can't dance because everybody's looking at you and nobody's actually looking because everybody's concerned about somebody else looking at them. Niemand kijkt voor niemand nie. Yeah, yeah. And in the process, we're not worshiping and we're not praising God. You see, and I want to encourage you. I see it with my kids. And William and I actually spoke about it this week. And he said, thank you, Mom, for forcing me to praise. I would sometimes say, those that praise, that actually stick up their hands, because the Wades, we are quite reserved. And I don't know if it's a South African thing or white Afrikaans means dung. You know, we are stiff, man. Yeah, it's a stiff story. So I lift my hands, then it comes here. I'm lifting my hands. And sometimes I see it with the kids. Some of the kids go quick, but for most of us, when we need to praise, it's a sacrifice, isn't it? It's a sacrifice, but that is what, I read it this week, the end of 2 Samuel, I think 24, top left-hand part of my Bible. David said something, I'm not going to go into the story because I don't want to go there this morning, but he said, I will not give God something that doesn't cost me. There's a principle there that was now speaking about he had a plague that had to be stopped and he wanted to sacrifice something for God to stop the plague that had been killing, I think, 70,000 Israelites. But the guy that who had the land said, no, King David, you can take it all. Just, you know, do whatever. You are king. And David said, now I will not give God something that didn't cost me. And I want to ask you, what is your praise costing him? Because you see, worship is a response. Praise is a sacrifice. Worship is a response. When we praise him sacrificially, we enter his presence through gates of praise and thanksgiving. But once we get into his presence, oh my goodness, that's where we got this morning with all who are thirsty. Once we get there, it's worship and that's a response. Because once the King of Kings is in the room, you cannot but respond. Does that make sense? But for us to get to that place, praise is a sacrifice. We see another scripture here, Isaiah 42. It says there, sing to the Lord a new song and his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you coastlands and you inhabitants of it. This is just Isaiah speaking of, you need to sing to God. You need to praise him with a new song. You need to verbally, it needs to come out of your mouth. Sometimes we praise him like I'm praising on the inside. And Isaiah, Psalms is full of it. You need to open your mouth. You need to shout. You need to stick up your hands. You need to do something sacrificially. That's how we praise him. Verse 11 says, they let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar inhabits, let the inhabitants of Selah sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. There we go, shout. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. So Isaiah is saying, as you are doing all these things, as you are shouting, as you are praising, as you are lifting him up, listen to verse 13. It says there, the Lord shall go forth like a mighty man. He shall stir up his zeal like a man of war, and he shall cry out, yes, shout aloud. He shall prevail against his enemies. Isaiah is basically saying, when you praise God, God, the God of, you know, God is peace, he's love, but he's also God of war. And he fights his enemies. If William has an enemy, luckily he doesn't have many enemies at school, not that I'm aware of, but because he is mine, I very much struggle to be objective. When he has an enemy, because he's mine, that enemy becomes my enemy. We are not sitting eye to eye if there's an enemy. And that is what God is saying. Your enemies, the enemy that's attacking you, you are his. And when you praise him, he's saying, I am the God of war. I am the God that comes in and I fight on your behalf. But we need to praise him because on our praises he is enthroned. Does that make sense? There's a story in the Bible of the king of Judah at the time, King Jehoshaphat. I think most of you know this story. It's in 2 Chronicles. I'm going to tell you the background a little bit, and then we're going to read one or two sentences. But this is a story where it's beautifully illustrated, where the king Jehoshaphat was really nervous. What are we going to do? There are armies, there are enemies coming to attack us in Jerusalem. And God says to him, I want you to put the worship team in front. Now, in our day and age, we don't fight with a sword and with the kind of things they fought with in those days. They went head on in a war. It's not cyber war, whatever it is these days. This is, they've got swords and chopping heads off. It's brutal. There's a lot of blood. It's wild. Putting people with instruments who's going to sing and praise God right in front is basically saying, we don't like them, okay? You're making them out to be the top. I mean, it's just a no-brainer. You can imagine. It's like putting kids in front. You just don't do that, you know? They're not armed. They cannot protect themselves. But God is saying, this is the principle, and this is the principle David realized. When I praise God, when I enthrone him on my praises, he fights my battles. And we read there verse 21, and when he, that's Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, had consulted with the people, can you imagine, consulted with the people? Now, can you imagine the king comes to you, Lisel, yes, no, the worship layer for Ochand, and says, you're going to go in front. I'm going to say consulting of the not. I'm not the army leader. I'm not going in front. Because you know you are going to get slaughtered. I mean, there's no ways. There's nothing to protect you. But he consulted. That's something. And it says there, and he appointed those who would sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. You see, worship, we can sometimes relate to, I'm going to be quiet and I'm just going to worship. But the key, time and again, we see God is saying, no, you go ahead and you praise. You shout. You make a joyful noise. You dance to me. And verse 22, it says, now when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set ambushes against their enemies. So the Lord started fighting on their behalf when they praised. So I want to encourage you, praise is not something we just do on a Sunday morning to get everybody awake because we're all half asleep when we get here. No, praise is so powerful. And I feel in this season where there's a lot of us that are struggling, I want to encourage you. We're going to praise a little bit at the end again, but it's not really so much today what you're praising. It's this week, because come Wednesday, you've already forgotten who Jolene is or what she preached about, but you're in the battle. Ne? And it's then that we need to turn up our car radio, get a YouTube song on your phone, put in your earphones and say, for 5 minutes, I'm going to praise because God, the battle is intense, but I'm going to praise you. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to sing and dance in the cubicle, in the toilet, at work, wherever it is. Does that make sense? I want to tell you a quick testimony. Last week, it was the morning service, the first morning service. We had a wonderful time of worship, and as I got onto the podium, I felt God saying that it was the Friday, there was another one on a Sunday, the Saturday, the ladies' morning. As I got up, I felt God saying, you don't need to pray for people, I've already healed people because the presence of God is there, and where the presence of God is, everything is there. He's the one who does it. So I asked, I said, is there anybody that came in with pain, and during worship, it went all away. And a lady at the back stuck up her hand, and I said, would you mind coming forward and telling us what happened? So she came forward, an older lady, and she said she was in a car accident, and this bone right here, sternum, that's what she said. It broke in the car accident a couple of years ago, but it's healed, but She's had a lot of pain, actually quite badly, especially when she lifts up her hands. So she came in the morning with severe pain. She says she could hardly lift up her hands, but she didn't want to miss out, so she kind of just walked in like that. But as we were continuing with the worship and the praise, the pain completely left. And by the time I asked, does anybody realize that any pain is, you know, gone or whatever? She said she realized she'd been raising her hands towards the end of the set. All the pain had left. And that's, you see, that's the battle she fought when she came in was physical pain. But as she focused on God saying, I'm going to praise you, God fought the battle on her behalf. That's the God we serve. It happened to a man on Sunday morning. We had a healing altar call, and he said he didn't stand up for the healing altar calls because he had his meniscus got torn or whatever 10 or 15 years ago, and he had an operation, but they've prayed and nothing happens, and there's just a whole bunch of pain all the time. So he didn't stand because he's gotten used to living with the pain. And I think for some of us, we've gotten used to being in the battle, in the tough times, and I feel God is saying, you know what ends today? It ends today. But this man, he didn't stand when we prayed for sick people. But afterwards, we called people forward to minister to them. And he came forward for prayer. And somebody prayed with him. And he walked out. And he got to his car. And he realized all the pain in the knee is gone. So he came back. And he looked for Andre. And he said, Andre, all the pain is gone. It's been there over 10 years. All the pain is gone. But again, nobody prayed for the knee. He didn't even come for prayer for the knee, but God healed him. And you see, that's the God we serve. That's saying, I will fight your battles as you enthrone me. So that's the first one that I felt in this time. Praise is a key. The second one that I felt is the prayer of agreement. You know, there's a reason why we are a body. Why we are a spiritual family. There's a reason why we encourage you not just to come to church, but to go to small group or whatever you call it, a smaller group on a Wednesday evening. Why? Because God says, Matthew 18, Jesus said, Matthew, you can put it up there. It says, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Here's the reason. You see, we often quote that and we say, we're two or more gathered. I just need somebody to agree with me and then it will happen. But it says there, verse 24, four is because the reason why something will happen when you pray with somebody else is it says there, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. When God is enthroned, when Jesus is in our midst, anything can happen. When he is in our midst, he fights on our behalf. You see, that's the key. The key is not really our prayer. Yeah, we have to pray together. But it's more God says, when you come together, I am there. And I want to encourage you guys. That's the second one. I feel for many of us, and I'm probably preaching to the converted this morning, but many of us don't want to share when we're struggling. And you see, our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against powers and principalities of the air. And that is why when we are struggling, we need to tell somebody, you need to pray with me because this is a spiritual battle. And I need somebody else that needs to come in agreement with me. But what happens is the enemy comes and he lies to us and he says, you're the only one that's struggling with that. Or you should be past that. You cannot ask for prayer because you are in the pastor. We have a prayer group. I say, we need prayer. Can you guys pray for us? For this, this, and this. You know, this, it requires vulnerability. It does. And I get it that many of us are really private people. I'm not very private, but Richard's family, for instance, is extremely private. Sometimes I don't even know if they know what's going on. They're so private. But it's we all different. And I'm not saying you need to take a microphone and tell the whole world. But I am telling you, God didn't design us to fight these battles on our own. God didn't design us to walk on our own. He requires us to walk in community. He requires us to be vulnerable and to say maybe to one or two friends, and we're going to have that opportunity this morning. For some of you, the breakthrough is going to come when you stick your pride behind you and say, I'm going to die, but I'm going to go to the front because I need to tell somebody I'm really struggling. You see, and for some of us, I feel that you're saying, but other people are struggling more than I do. And yes, there will always be somebody with a worse problem. I tell you, I've been in that hospital now since Wednesday. Last night, I walked out of there just before 6 o'clock. I've seen problems. Does that make it less important or less? Does that mean that, no, Richard's not actually that bad because he's not near death? He's completely not there. So he's not going to die, but there are other people that are really close to dying. So does that mean that God is saying, no, you don't need to pray for me, you know, it's not that bad. We should rather pray for somebody else. No, God is saying we come together. But for some of you, you look at your problem, and I feel God is saying, you look and you think, oh, it's not that bad. I can carry on. I can cope on my own. But God didn't call us to cope. He said, I want to give you life and life in abundance, but you need to listen to what the Word of God says. And it says we need to come together, but we cannot come together unless you tell us when you're struggling. Does that make sense? I'm sorry if I come across passionately, but I feel that there's so many people struggling, and the enemy is saying, either no, but they've prayed so many times. And you know what? If my child is struggling, if my husband is struggling, I will pray again and again and again and again and again. Why? Because I love him or her. And I know what God has said and what he died for and paid for on the cross. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage you this morning that we're going to, in fact, I think I'm going to end it there. I feel that there are many of us that are struggling physically. You heard the amount of people that are sick, and many of them are not here. I hope not. I don't think so. Many are really sick at home that we need to, you can stand proxy. You can come in and say, I'm going to stand proxy this morning for my friend, my mother. Liesl's also been flat in bed the whole week. Sickness. But I feel God is saying this morning there are some people that are sick that needs to come forward and say, I'm struggling. I am sick. Can you pray in agreement with me? I feel that there's some people that have got emotional sickness. You're struggling with depression. You're struggling with anxiety. You're struggling the whole day. I feel like it's almost like being tormented in your head. And I feel God is saying you need to come, even if it's 20 times, because we're going to come around you and we're going to pray for you and we're going to agree with you that as we pray in agreement that God will fight those battles on your behalf. I feel that there's also some of us that are in financial battle. Maybe you physically, emotionally, you're okay, but you are carrying a mountain of financial stress on your shoulders. And I feel God is saying this morning, that's a battle. Come into agreement with a brother or sister. Bring it into the light, saying, I'm really struggling. I know some of it I've brought onto myself. I feel for some of us, I didn't make great decisions, but God is saying, come. He's not an angry father. He's saying, I know, but I'm going to help you. You see, when my child makes a mistake, I don't keep on hitting him over the head. If he knows he made a mistake, then he's repented. And then I say, come, let me help you. Let's sort this mess out together. But we want to do it on our own, and we struggle. And then I feel that I could be completely off, but I feel that there's somebody here that's maybe in a legal battle, some legal stories going on that's really been complicated and just been a very intense battle and a heavy burden. And I also feel God is saying, as you come forward this morning and just pray with a brother or sister, God is saying, I'm going to fight those battles. I'm going to sort out the stuff, the papers, whatever it is. And then the last thing I felt was somebody also with a property. I don't know if it's linked to the legal thing or not, but something with a property that's just been an intense battle for you. I feel God is saying this morning, as we come into agreement, he's going to sort that out on your behalf. Does that make sense? So I want to ask us, maybe we can stand. I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you, Jesus, that we know that you are so good and that you are really the best father there is, and that you are not just a good father that hugs us, but you are also the Lord of war, God, that fights on our behalf, that fights the enemy, God, on our behalf. Lord, I thank you that this morning, God, I know that you are in our midst. And I thank you, Father, for fighting as we, I feel for some of us, you're going to say, I'm going to die. I am not walking to the front. I am not going there, and I'm not telling somebody my problems or my battle. And I feel God is saying that's exactly where the breakthrough is going to come. Once you tell somebody that heavy load that you are carrying, God is saying, I will take that. I will take it from you, but I want you to come into agreement. So, Father, I pray, God, as every eye is closed, I want to invite you, if that is you, if you are struggling with sickness, with any of the battles that I mentioned, I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hands. I want to encourage you to come to the front right now. And as they're coming to the front, I just want to invite the worship team to come up again, please. Yes, Lord, I just come again. Shame in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that it's just saying that I'm just one hungry beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. Thank you, God, that we're all struggling. That this week, the pastor's house was struggling, and we're still struggling, God. We're saying we don't like it when Richard's in hospital, and our kids miss him, and I miss him. But, Father, we thank you that you bring family around, God, that says it's okay to struggle because we all go through seasons of struggle. So, Father, we just break every shame, God. The enemy's voice that wants to say that I should be ashamed because I'm struggling. I feel that there's maybe one or two people that needs to still come. You're welcome to come. But I feel God is saying there's no shame when we struggle. Jesus struggled. He sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's no shame when we struggle. That's why he brought the body together. So I want to encourage you, before we're going to pray for the people in front, I actually feel for you who are sitting there, if you can give us 10 more minutes maximum, probably 7. I feel that as we are all going to sing the first song, Praise, as we enthrone God on our praises this morning, I feel for us who are standing around, we are going to help our brothers and sisters in front for God to come in and to fight their battles, and then we're going to pray with you guys. But I want to encourage you, if you are standing, don't rush out. You are doing okay now, but next time you are maybe the one standing in front saying, I need help. Does that make sense? So I want to encourage us. I want to encourage you to sacrificially praise him, to sacrificially lift him high, to not hold back. Because as we praise him, he will come in and he will fight on our behalf. All right, we're going to praise him. Our keyboard is short, but that will not stop us from praising him this morning. So I want to encourage you to praise sacrificially as we come on behalf of our brothers and sisters. Yes, Lord, we thank you, God, that you are enthroned on our praises, God. Thank you that you are the God of war, the God that fights our battles on our behalf, Lord. God, this week as we go out, we declare we will be a people that will praise you, God. We will not just praise you when we're on the mountaintop and everything's going well, but God, we will especially praise you in our valleys, God. When things are difficult, when we get the phone call, when we hear the news, God, when we have another fight at home, I feel God is saying, when there's another sleepless night, another fight at home, I thank you, God, that we will say, stop. I am going to praise God. I'm going to lift you up, God. We praise you because you are worthy, God. Because you are worthy, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.